Chances were likely this same contact would have no problem scrubbing his name from the records, too. And then what were the chances that Lisa or Kaz would make their way here to ask about a man who'd only hung around 2 or 3 days without making an impression before he disappeared? It wasn't like Tony had much in the way of friends or family. While his casual dismissal of all things that reeked of credentialism and ladder climbing might have suggested to those more career-oriented that Tony's contempt spread to the job itself, his record had borne out again and again that his only loyalty was to making sure the work got done. The problem is that this extended to his home life as well. When he was younger, Tony had once entertained the idea of a family, of a wife and children, but he had slowly, unconsciously, come to regard these elements as a block to his professional desires. It was sickly fitting, he reflected, that his lack of family might be the very thing that sentenced him to anonymous death. And yet, as he strode out of the dark hallways and through a door into the striking sunlight, onto the dam's maintenance walk, the very place he'd spotted Orlando earlier, Tony reflected that he wouldn't have done it any other way. He'd traded his own personal desires for the opportunity to help, and he'd do it again. He'd reaffirm here and now that he hadn't been wrong to take this path through life. He had his family, after all, and it was all the people he'd worked to help and all the people who, even now, depended on him to make sure they got through this okay. Emboldened by his resolve, feeling a second, stronger pulse of adrenaline kick in, he relaxed and readied himself to turn on Orlando. His moment came in the instant he felt Orlando pull his gun back. Not out of any mercy, Tony understood, nor out of hesitation. Orlando had likely resolved himself on killing Tony days ago, and had almost certainly gotten the go-ahead to do it only this morning. In fact, Tony wondered if his planting the device on the dam had been an intentional attempt to draw Tony out and trick him into making the call he had. It certainly didn't make any sense to go and sabotage yet another of the systems his benefactors were using to accrue water. On the other hand, Orlando likely had kept an eye, if only indirectly, on Tony's daily routine and seen him coming out here and so had staged a show to draw Tony out. Regardless of his conviction, though, the man was making the same mistake all soldiers made, in that he was hesitating just long enough to line up his shot. Tony had been prepared for this, and in that instant of realignment, had spun on Orlando, slapping the gun from his hand and hitting him in the chin. Orlando stumbled back, but while Tony tried to close in and take advantage of his discombobulation, the man threw up a screen of fists and elbows he was not equipped to get through. Stepping back, Tony brought his arms up and readied himself for Orlando's counterattack. Prepared as he was still taken aback when Orlando lunged at him. The soldier was so quick and so deft, despite the slippery wet stone of this overlook, that even fully alert and focused, Tony barely had time to dodge as his adversary grabbed at him. While he was able to avoid the arm bar that Orlando had attempted to land around his neck, Tony still couldn't escape, as the much larger, much stronger man gripped the scruff of his jacket and pulled backward. Tony's feet kicked against the ground as he sought to push back, and he jammed his right elbow with all the might he could muster at Orlando's waist. His blow hit. Orlando was too insistent on keeping this grip to let go now that he'd landed it, with a solid thud, but for all the reaction his target betrayed, Tony had to wonder if he hadn't whiffed entirely. 2, 3, 4 more solid blows to the man's body, and the increasing soreness of Tony's elbow suggested he wasn't so much wrong as it was that Orlando seemed impervious to pain. Tony tried to stomp on his foot, but found his results came to much the same. If it hadn't been for the spray off of the falls, slicking the floor beneath them, and Orlando suddenly losing his footing to this, just long enough to interrupt his grip, Tony feared he might have been only seconds longer for the world. Luckily, this mishap gave him the perfect opportunity to wriggle from Orlando's previously iron grip and scuttle further out onto the platform. Maybe retreating into the dam would have been more sensible, he reflected, but his first instinct was to move out of Orlando's grip and distance himself as much as he could. Unfortunately, in these circumstances, That meant either pressing up against the wall of the walkway or against the slim handrails preventing people from falling into the waters below, both of which choices severely limited Tony's mobility. Bracing his back against the wall, Tony took a wide-armed stance that he hoped would help offset the obvious physical disparities between him and Orlando, who was now recovered and charging his way. The man was on Tony in a flurry of punches he could barely trace. Though he managed to weave past the first three and parry two more, he wasn't fast enough to keep rhythm and was soon taking more hits than he had any reasonable expectation of avoiding. He tried to counter with attacks of his own, but Orlando swatted aside each of his attempts with a precision that was almost mechanical. Watching his chances for survival dwindle as he was buffeted with blows, Tony moved into a crouch and then sprang at Orlando's legs. He bowled him over, and in a flurry of limbs, they rolled across the slick ground, Tony pushing to return to the wall and Orlando compelling him towards the railing. Luckily, the confusion of their position and the precariousness of the edge gave Tony an advantage he hadn't yet reckoned on. Orlando may have been dedicated enough to his mission to kill, but that didn't mean he was dedicated enough that he'd die for it. He couldn't risk tumbling over the edge with Tony. And so the further they got from the wall, the more cautious Orlando became, the more tentative his pulls and shoves and punches, which in turn freed Tony to act more aggressively. In danger of dying either way, he could throw his force around more, could take advantage of a lull in Orlando's aggression to shift his weight that much harder, to throw in a handful of quick jabs to his would-be murderer's vulnerable jaw. After a number of rounds of this back and forth, Orlando overcorrected on a barrel roll and gave Tony the perfect opportunity he had to slip out from off his position atop Orlando and back to his feet. An instant later, he was running for the gun he had smacked out of Orlando's grasp, hoping that, with it, he might be able to turn the tide of this battle. Unfortunately, the handgun, a custom Desert Eagle that looked like it had been modified to handle even higher caliber bullets than it should have been, Tony wondered if it didn't have stopping power enough to handle even Orlando, was covered in water from the spray coming off the dam. Each time Tony thought he'd secured his grip on it, he found it clattering from his grasp and skidding further along. It was only on his fourth attempt that he managed to clamp both hands down on it, turning just in time to find Orlando charging directly at him, just feet away. With no time to aim and no time to prepare himself, Tony instinctively pulled the trigger. His wrists, unprepared for the impact, almost snapped. He could almost feel those tiny bones rattling in his arm. His ears rang. The thunderous blast of the gun seemed to drown out even the elemental force of those thousands of tons of water falling every second. Even his head snapped back a little at the kick from the gun, and when he brought his head back around to take in the aftermath of his actions, he was baffled to find Orlando nowhere in sight. Tony was in the middle of wondering if the force from the blast, coupled with the slick stones, had been enough to take Orlando over the edge, when movement from his peripheral caught Tony's attention. He was halfway into turning to the right to trace the motion when Orlando grabbed him from behind, pulled one arm hard against his throat, while another barred his right arm, such that all Tony could do was flail, helplessly, with his loose left arm and stomp with his feet. In a desperate act, he tried to pull his hand that held the gun back down and around, but to no avail. Orlando wrenched the piece from his hand and then hurled it over the dam's edge. He was taking no chances. Orlando seemed cautious enough about Tony that even with the man helpless as he was, Orlando began to pull his elbow in against Tony's windpipe. Tony felt the pressure first, then the irritation in his throat as he broke involuntarily into coughs that could not escape through his constricted windpipe, only build up into a pain that felt like it was escaping from his eyeballs. He felt himself going to black, only a second away from expiring, when he was shocked back to life. Again, Orlando had stumbled on the unsure footing of the slippery ledge. It took an instant for Tony to collect himself and realize what had happened to him, what had almost happened, before he turned back to Orlando and charged him. With the gun disposed of, and himself so physically outmatched, there was no other choice Tony could think of, no chance to win this fight, but to go in as hard as he could against the man Cass had described as breathlessly as if he'd been talking about the same god of war Orlando owed his last name to. It was hard not to think of him as invincible. Tony had been certain that shot, quick as it was, had been aimed squarely at Orlando's chest, and yet the man had anticipated it, predicted Tony's actions, and dodged accordingly. Holding back against him was pointless. Heedless of what might happen, he tackled shoulder first into the massive soldier, as if he was back on the football green in high school. Tapping into wells of anger and desperation he hadn't had cause to touch in years. Though he was afraid that he would slip and fall, his heightened awareness and anxiety kept him on sure feet. Though he was frightened Orlando would simply absorb his tackle and deflect Tony, he was thrilled to find that when scrambling up from his knees, even the supposedly invincible man was susceptible to a solid body check as any quarterback Tony had flattened on the field. There was a grunt, maybe the first sound he'd ever heard from Orlando, Tony thought, as he checked his shoulder hard into Orlando's chest and bulldozed toward the railing with him. For a breath, Tony had visions of the two tumbling over the railing, spinning end over end together. It was not the finale Tony had hoped for, would still leave so much unsolved, unexposed, and unsaid, so many lives endangered, but at least he would go down taking out at least one of the bastards. Suddenly, though, where only a second ago there had been easy motion, there appeared a resistance, so abrupt and powerful, it sent Tony off balance and tumbling forward towards the ledge. His hand slapped at the water-sleek surface of the landing, but could not exert enough force to halt his progress. He kicked out with his legs, the better to catch the railing, but it was only when he slammed spine first into one of the legs of the banister surrounding this platform that he came to a stop. Bruised, battered, out of breath, and sore in every bone now, the battered Tony tried to bring himself up, but was immediately set upon by Orlando, his face betraying for the first time since Tony had seen the man some measure of emotion, only just the tiniest dollop of what looked to him like rage. An instant later, the furious man's hands were clasped on Tony's throat and lifting him by the neck through pure strength to his feet. Tony sputtered for breath and again found himself hardly able to breathe. He paddled pathetically with his feet to fight back, but Orlando had given up wasting time, it seemed, and adapted to the unstable surface of the arena. With deliberate footsteps, he trod forward, holding out Tony like some offered sacrifice to the god mammon Orlando's masters had sacrificed so many others to. Tony slapped his dangling hands ineffectually against Orlando's wrists, thrashed his legs wildly to see if he could at least score a hit or two to his shins, or even his groin, but it was to no avail. It would have been hard enough to exert any real power in his blows from that angle, let alone to manage the same with his strength draining rapidly and his precarious position. Unable to free himself, but not content to go down without a fight, Tony tried to spit out insults, but finding he could not, settled instead to spit what he managed. He hated it, this inability, this weakness, this failure on his part, hated to have done so little to stop what would absolutely continue to some disastrous end. He hated as much the look that Orlando gave him as he thrust him out to dangle over the ledge and the hundreds of feet drop below. The flash of fury he'd noticed earlier was gone now, replaced instead by an aloof observance that suggested Orlando didn't even consider Tony worth hating, worth respecting, worth even thinking about. He was an obstacle, something to be overcome, and so was only worth anger in much the way you might direct your rage at a faulty remote or a corner of a table you accidentally banged your shin on. Like Clemson, like Marshall, no doubt like Kaz and Lisa, and all the people across Colorado who were finding their water diverted or lost, Tony was one more piece of acceptable collateral. If he got washed away in the flood, well, so be it. You couldn't build a dam without drowning thousands of insects and rodents, and you couldn't make the changes that Orlando's handlers fancied themselves making if you weren't willing to pile up a few corpses. Even as Tony fell from Orlando's grasp to go tumbling end over end into the water, he could see how little regard was on the man's face. He thought about what kind of system bred a soul like that, before a second later, crashing headfirst into the waterfall, his head rocked by the lights exploding behind his eyes and the seemingly infinite force pouring through the water, force that felt like the explosion at the center of a nuclear blast. And then he thought no more.